healed? At first sight, this may seem a foolish question. Fancy asking a man who'd been in poor physical health for something like 38 years if he wanted to get well. And yet that was precisely the question that Jesus Christ did ask him. Surely there must have been a reason or reasons. I think we might begin to get an inkling of these if we were to ask the same question today of a Christian who had been in poor spiritual health for 38 years. Do you want to be healed? For the tragedy is that unfortunately many people literally enjoy poor spiritual health. They don't want to get well. You see, it's possible to be a Christian without being the kind of Christian God intended you to be. It's possible to have spiritual life without having spiritual health. And the purpose for which we are gathered here at Keswick in our thousands is precisely this, that we might together learn the secret of being well Christians. Here too then, as there long ago, there's a great multitude gathered. And surely we believe that the same divine presence is with us as was with those folk gathered at the pool of Bethesda on that memorable day. And somehow or other, I'm sure that the same question will fall from the lips of Christ and will be addressed to us as was addressed to this man of whom we've been hearing in our scripture reading. Do you want to be healed? It sounds absurd. Of course he wanted to be. But wait a minute. Think again. I want to suggest in the first place that this question explored the secrets of this man's heart. Do you want? Do you want to be healed? It was a penetrating question, for this man might well have had his reasons for staying as he was. After all, in that place, life could be fairly comfortable, lazing there in the sun and shade around the pool, while others toiled at their daily tasks. Possibly for him, being an invalid, had had its compensations. Other folk had been doing the work, and he'd been fairly well looked after. And after he'd been like that for some years, maybe he had got into a pattern of living, a groove, and life hadn't been just so bad for him. How many Christians there are who may well reason just like this. Enjoying poor spiritual health themselves, they find it easier to laze while others labor, to watch while others work. Maybe it wasn't only comfortable, but at times even profitable, for no doubt there'd be some among the multitude who would not be strangers to the art of begging, scraping enough together from the generosity and hard work of others to make ends meet. Yes, this man might well have had his reasons for not wanting to be healed. It was a penetrating question. It was also a personal question. For while in verse 3 we read of a great multitude, in verse 5 we read of a certain man. And it is always thus with God. God never deals with the multitude as a unit, but with the individual. And so it is that as the incident develops and the story unfolds, so the attention narrows down in its focus to the individual person. Do you want to be healed? I wonder if that question was addressed to you or to me personally, as I believe the Holy Spirit can and will address it so that we feel it is directed to us alone and individually in this great crowd. How would you react to it as a Christian? Do you really want to be the kind of Christian God means you to be? This question, then, is one that explores the secrets of our hearts. But there's more to it than that. This question examined the standards in this man's life. Do you want to be healed? Or as the authorized version has it, wilt thou be made whole? So much would, of course, depend upon what you meant by being whole, by being healed, by being the kind of Christian God meant you to be. And so the question presupposes that we must have some kind of standard of measurement. Supposing this man had taken his standard from the multitude that surrounded him, he might well have said to Christ, "What's all the fuss about? Look at these folk around me. In comparison with a lot of them, I'm not so bad after all." The Word of God speaks of folk who do precisely this. We read of them in 2 Corinthians 10:12 as those who, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. We can see the folly of this as we look into the story of long ago, but is this not precisely what so many of us do as Christians? We look round our churches and feel that, compared with others, we're not doing so badly. The trouble is that we are usually measuring ourselves against folk who are just as poor specimens of what Christians ought to be as we are ourselves. "Do you want to be healed?" was the question. "Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to become the kind of Christian God means you to be?" But supposing instead that the man had taken his standard from the man that addressed him, instead of from the multitude that surrounded him, then there could have been no room for content or complacency, and this is precisely the standard that the Christian must adopt. "Be ye holy, for I am holy," is what the Word of God says. "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." The standard for our lives is nothing less than the character of God. Holiness means being Christ-like. This means that while there's a negative side to holiness in that there's no room for sin in the holy life, there is also a positive side to holiness. Holiness is the active expression of the life and love of God reaching out to meet all the deepest needs in the lives of men. And let us never forget that holiness is not an option for the Christian, it's an obligation. It isn't something special reserved for a few peculiarly saintly people, but it's meant for every Christian there is. This is what Christ was talking about when he said, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." When you and I compare ourselves with other Christians, we may be quite complacent. But when we compare ourselves with Jesus Christ, what then? So this question compels us to ask, what is the standard of measurement in our lives? The multitude or the man, Christ Jesus? I wonder if this question text is appearing increasingly to be not so foolish as it seemed at first. For I find that it not only explores the secrets of men's hearts, it also examines the standards in men's lives. Do you want to be healed? Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be the kind of Christian God means you to be? There's just one more thought that I can see behind this question put to this man centuries ago, a question that I believe God wants to put to us afresh tonight and during this week of convention. For this question explored the secrets of this man's heart, it examined the standards of this man's life, but it did more. It envisaged the supply of this man's need. We must, as we close, take our eyes away from the man addressed to the man Christ Jesus who addressed. This is always a wise thing to do. For every one look at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ, was the advice of Robert Murray McChain. The charge is sometimes made against the Keswick Convention that it's too introspective. But although Keswick always begins by trying to make us look honestly at our failure, it is only in order that having looked at our failure as Christians, we may then find the remedy for that by looking to Christ, the risen Christ, the triumphant Christ, the indwelling Christ. Let us look then at him as we find him here in this story, remembering that he's the same yesterday and today and forever. Let us note two things. First, his reason for asking the question. Surely it was a sound reason, a loving reason. Christ didn't probe into this man's heart in order to rub it in that he was a sick man. Christ did not set out to bring this man to despair, to discourage him and depress him. The purpose of Christ was and is to liberate, to enrich, to empower. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, he had read in the synagogue at Nazareth, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. When Christ, by the Holy Spirit, probes into our lives, it's not to hurt, for the sake of hurting, but in order that he may heal, in order that he might lift us up, not cast us down. This is the reason for asking the question, do you want to be healed? What then are his resources for solving the problem? His resources today are as adequate as they were then. I hope you believe in miracles, for it will take a miracle, not a moment of miracle, but a lifetime of miracle, to make you and me the kind of Christians we're meant to be. And the resources for that miracle are all in the living Christ. Your God is too small. That's the apt title of a book by J.B. Phillips. Too small, because we've made him so. But the risen Christ, the Christ of the resurrection, is not too small for your problem, mine. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, was Paul's glowing testimony. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Some years ago, when I was speaking at a convention with the late W.H. Aldiss in Leicester, I remember him reading an extract from a letter received from China, from a convention where the Chinese Christians had met, even as we met here, and they had written, "We are not praying that we may be better Christians, but that we may be well Christians." Is this our prayer? Is this your prayer? Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be healed? On the answer to that question, so much will depend. And may the answer in our hearts, the answer of obedient, responsive faith, be such that the power of Christ to save and transform lives may be liberated in our own experience to his glory and for the good of the multitudes who may then be blessed through our lives. Do you want to be healed?
They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. O God, who art the author of peace and lover of concord, in knowledge of whom standeth our eternal life, whose service is perfect freedom, defend us, thy humble servants, in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in thy defense, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through the might of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.